evening. And welcome. So I've been thinking about the focus, the theme of our practice period, how to be a bodhisattva in the 21st century, and how to be fully engaged. And I thought about it, how do I qualify engagement? How do I quantify fully engaged? And initially, I get caught in my ego mind because I came from a work culture. I did a lot of community engagement in the past. And I was working for the government. And in government, anything we do, it always comes with outcome measures. And I'm going through a phase in my life where I'm trying to unlearn that and not to think about outcomes or be goal-oriented. And I'm also reminded at the last session in Loon Lake, Kate and Michael's guiding teacher, Norman Fisher, in his last Dharma talk, he encouraged us to take our place in the world. So at this stage in my life, when I'm thinking I am not necessarily engaged in any activism or doing any big project to save the world, does that mean I don't have a place in the world? Does it mean I'm not taking my place in the world? And a few of us were in a group discussion with our Shuso, Vicky, and she made a good point, and I was thinking about that at the same time, and she said, the practice, think about the things you already do in your life. And that's what I like to share with you through the small acts in small doses, how I take my practice to the world. And the invitation to the Zed Talk is to share anything we do in terms of service, work, or activism, and how we take our practice to the world. So I'm going to just talk about different things in all those three areas. On service, how I serve the community. Michael and Kate often talk about how we are not separated. And in Buddhism, we talk about interconnectedness. And last Friday, we have an event here, Sit Down, Stand Up. And I wasn't there, but I know it gives a chance for us to look into how and where Buddhists and First Nations share common ground. And I have been going to a sweat lodge in the Tsleil Waututh Nation in North Vancouver in the last few years. And I've been following that tradition. And you may wonder, okay, this is Zed talk, Zen engaged talk, and I'm going to talk about my practice with the North Native tradition. And to me, it's all-encompassing. I cannot really say this is my leg that goes to the Zendo, this is my head that goes to the sweat lodge, because there's only one practice. And between both traditions, it really adds to one another. And it really shares a lot of commonalities. And the format is very similar. The energy, the intention to me are the same. At the sweat lodge, we have similar talking circle where people talk one at a time. There's no cross-talking. We speak from the heart, and it's a safe place for people to speak. And we begin and end, each time we speak, we begin and end by saying, all my relations. And in my elders' teaching, when we say all my relations, we mean all my relations. Not just people, not just the two-legged, the four-legged, the animals, the winged ones, the ones that fly in the air, the ones that flow or swim in the water, the trees, the plants, the air, everything, our ancestors, the future generations. So that's what all my relations means. And that's interconnectedness to me. And that's how I can bring in my practice and really appreciate how deeply connected we truly are. It sounds very simple, three words, all my relations. But that, to me, is a lifetime of practice. Careful speech. Do I say what I mean? And can I really connect, truly connect? So every time I say it, I have to pause and really feel the connections before I say it. And the sweat lodge I go to is Two-Spirit Healing Lodge, and it's open to the public. It's for Two-Spirit and friends. It's a healing lodge. We go there and pray. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our families and friends. And there was one time we had a discussion circle where we talked about prayers here. And some of us do, some of us don't, and some of us, we don't know what it means to pray. And when I pray, I always say, I begin with Grandfather, Sun, Grandmother, Moon, Father, Sky, Star Nation, and Earth Mother. And I pray to them to give me the energy so I can walk on this earth in good ways. And to me, it takes me to appreciate what Thich Nhat Hanh often talk about, our existence, how we are fully supported by the entire universe. And since I pray there, it makes me come to understand it at a higher level. And my elder's elder is the former chief, Leonard George. And Leonard, his wife, and his wife, they would come and join us at the sweat lodge every now and then. And they would tell us, please keep your prayers. We need your prayers. He said, even when we go to the sweat lodge, we pray for ourselves or for our families and friends. He said, our prayers are important. It heals their land. It heals their people. It heals their ancestors. And he asked us to keep praying. And my prayers are my way to serve my community. And each time when we go to the sweat lodge, when we get thirsty, before we drink the water, my elder always say, let's offer the water to the Earth Mother. Give thanks to the earth, because the water is what we use for our ceremonies and is how we nurture ourselves, how we cleanse ourselves. And we know about Kinder Morton and the pipeline. And in the summer, the George family, they invited the public to pray with them. They built a bonfire, a sacred fire, on the beach in Case Park. And they invited the public to pray with them, to pray for the sacred water, and to pray for the fight against the pipeline. And people in our communities, they take different actions. Some choose to sign a petition, or maybe go to a community roundtable to express their view or to join a protest. And now a lot of environmental organizations, they are stepping up the effort. And they even encourage people to commit to being arrested. So there is a whole range of actions one can take. And Leonard and his family invited people to go to the beach to pray with them for safe, clean drinking water as part of their actions. And I went there, I prayed for them, and I prayed with them. Now they are, Tsleil Waututh Nation, they are the children of Takaya. They are the children of the Wolf Clan. And what the wolf medicine has taught me is that Wolf is about family, it's about sisterhood, brotherhood, togetherness, not leaving anyone behind. Whether we believe in prayers, it doesn't matter to me. I do believe in prayers personally. To me, there is engagement behind the prayers. What I have learned from the wolf medicine is showing up in a group, that in itself is a demonstration of love. That's about building community, about nurturing each other. It's about individual and community well-being. And also it's an act of support and solidarity. And Leonard, he is my elder's elder. So is the equivalent of who Norman means to us, is our teacher's teacher. And Leonard said to my elder, we're never separated from our elder. And Norman has similar teaching. Last time he said, treat your spiritual family like your own family. Treat your spiritual teachers like friends. So to me, you're never separated from your elder. It does not necessarily mean we are joined by our hips. It means to me, we are in this together. So that's how I take my place in the world. I showed up and I prayed for them because that's what they asked for. And that's what I can wholeheartedly support. On work, I think 2 weeks ago, Kate had a Dharma talk on conflict. I experience a lot of conflicts at work. Partly it's because of the nature of the work I do, and also sometimes it's the role we play at work. I don't think anyone of us would love conflict. Earlier, I just talked about animal medicine. Medicine can be in different forms. It could be plant medicine. All it means when I say medicine, in my own understanding and from my teachings, from my elders, it means spiritual energy or anything that offers you healing or teachings. So careful listening can be our medicine. Gratitude can be our medicine. Conflict is medicine. And I've been taught to trust our medicine. Many years ago, I remember I went white river rafting. And I was sitting beside an older gentleman. There were two of us sitting at the very front of the raft. And I saw a big wave about to come. So I closed my eyes because I thought, oh, I'm going to get wet and it's going to, like, I would get knocked off by the weight. So I was hanging on tight. I had my eyes closed. And then the older gentleman, he's probably in his 70s or 80s, he tapped on my arm and he said, why do you have your eyes closed? Keep your eyes open. That's the best part. And when I think of conflict, keep my eyes open. Don't turn away because that's the best part. That's medicine. So I've learned to be fully present. Doesn't mean that I succeed every time. When I forget, I try to remember. It's like our sitting practice. Sometimes it's about changing gear. If you're not comfortable, you may need to sit higher, you may need to sit lower, you may need to sit on a chair. So sometimes it's about switching up. So when dealing with conflict, sometimes it's about trying different skillful means. Also sometimes it's about, you know how sometimes our ankle hurts or our leg is falling asleep. But we've also been encouraged, can you sit through the discomfort? Can you be with it and let it dissolve? I tried that a few times and it eventually goes away. So sometimes dealing with conflict, it feels like that. Can I be with the discomfort? All those negative emotions, frustration, anger, whatever it rises, can I be with that? And that's one thing that really inspires me. When I heard Michael talking about his experience when he returned from Japan and he lost his visa, and he said he made a vow not to turn away from any challenges. When I heard that, I was so inspired. I was really, really inspired. But wait, there's more. So I went to talk to Michael. I told him I was really inspired. And then he said, sometimes there are situations that cannot be resolved. So I heard that, and I breathe, because conflict is like that. There are a lot of times there are conflicts that cannot be resolved. I'm still practicing on that. It's not easy. But I've learned sometimes it's about admit not knowing. It doesn't mean I have to resolve it each time. It means I have learned to have greater acceptance that it cannot be resolved at times. And I've also learned sometimes it's better to stumble forward in certain situations than avoiding it, because avoidance takes a lot more energy. So sometimes I just enter the situation and learn to deal with it and address it to the best of my ability. And recently I heard someone saying, when you leave a circle, it's your responsibility to return. And that really resonates with me. I was challenged in a few situations recently. It's about conflicts. And I just checked in with myself. I cannot stay in that situation because certain values, it does not feel right to me. And I dealt with it to the best of my ability. And yes, I did leave that situation, but I reminded myself, this is a brick. I'm not leaving the circle forever. I try to keep an open mind. Somewhere down the road, relationships may evolve, attitude may shift, the circumstance may be different. So I remind myself, try not to leave the circle, leave room to return, and leave room for other people to return. It may happen, it may not, and it's all good. So again, that's bringing myself back to practice. There's no separation. And we are in this together. Sometimes it seems very messy, but if we can look past that. And on activism, that's where I feel very challenged at times. I come from a work culture that taking action is highly encouraged. Activism is encouraged. I even had employers in the past who would encourage us, don't just sit at your desk, don't just sit in front of your computer, go and take action. We were allowed to take time off work to be part of a rally if we choose to do so. But with work, sometimes it comes with certain organizational objectives. Some people may call it agenda, or it comes with outcomes or goals. And I'm going through a phase where I need to honor the seasonality of my life, where I feel that this is not the time in my life to take part in activism or projects, initiatives. That does not ring true to me. Where does that leave me? I'd like to share with you a passage from one of the recommended readings for our practice period, David Loy's A New Buddhist Path. Today we are challenged to discover the meaning and role we seek in the ongoing, long-term task of repairing the rupture between us and Mother Earth. Will our species wake up to become the collective bodhisattva of the biosphere? Thich Nhat Hanh has recently suggested that the next Buddha may appear as a Sangha, as a community rather as an avatar who will come to save us from ourselves. We must become that which we have been waiting for. And in Thich Nhat Hanh's words, the Buddha attained individual awakening. Now we need a collective enlightenment to stop the course of destruction. And I have been paying attention to what inspires me to take action. And just on the past Sunday, there was a Sangha member from Bellingham, and she told us about an opportunity that the Red Cedar Sand community is doing for the upcoming election, U.S. election, that is. So this is from the Red Cedar Sand community, and they're going to have election day sits on November 8th and 9th. As part of the countrywide interfaith initiative, Let Love Be Our Legacy, we are all in this together. Each of the participating faith communities will open their doors for part of Election Day, November 8th, knowing that whatever the outcome, we will all need to find reconciliation and common ground moving forward after this politically divisive period. We intend to keep our communities open and welcoming on the day after the election, November 9th as well. The election day sits will be silent, interfaith and nonpartisan. We want to simply provide a place of peace and refuge where all are welcome. So I find something that really speaks to me, that inspires me to take action. So next Tuesday, I am going to come to the Sendo for the morning sit, where I would sit for inner peace. And one breath at a time, and it's also sitting in solidarity for our Sangha members and for all other people in the United States, because we are in this together.